You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Disease Is Your Podcast. In today's episode, we spoke with Dr. Nicole Scherer about equine recurrent uveitis. I'm your host, Carly Sisson, Digital Editor of Equimanagement. The Disease Is Your Podcast is brought to you in 2024 by Merck Animal Health. Dr. Nikki Scherer currently serves as Assistant Professor of Ophthalmology at the University of Pennsylvania's New Bolton Center. She received a bachelor's degree in biochemistry and graduated summa cum laude at DePauw University. She then attended Purdue University, where she earned a doctorate degree from the Purdue University School of Veterinary Medicine. After graduation, she started an internship at Roden-Riddle Equine Hospital and then started a second rotating internship at University of Pennsylvania's New Bolton Center. This experience opened the door into an ophthalmology residency at New Bolton Center. She became a diplomat of the American College of Veterinary Ophthalmologists in 2019. Thank you, Dr. Scherer, for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So do you want to get us started with a brief overview of ERU? What is it exactly? What types of horses are most at risk?
Yeah, so ERU stands for equine recurrent uveitis. As most everyone knows, I'm sure everyone's dealt with it in one way or another. But what we think of it as is the horse's own immune system deciding to attack the uveal structures of the eye. So the basically attacking the inside of the eye. And then that can lead to pain, which is what an owner would usually see. But more importantly, blindness if it's not treated.
What are some of the clinical signs that might make you suspicious that a horse has ERU?
Yeah, so the clinical signs that the owners would see would be squinting, tearing, maybe some redness, which obviously doesn't really give you any clues about the exact problem going on. So when someone calls in for ocular pain, uveitis is generally always on my list of things to rule out. But then when you as the veterinarian's looking at the eye, what we may see is some corneal edema, maybe some vessels generally going 360 degrees around the eye. If vessels are more focal to one area, I think more about corneal ulcers, abscesses, more focal diseases. And then when we talk about what we're seeing inside of the eye, the kind of slam dunk for uveitis is what we call aqueous flare, where it's basically a haziness inside of the eye. And then we'll also sometimes see a small pupil. And if we're comparing eyes, to have a normal eye is always ideal. So we can kind of have a good one to compare to. But the iris color may change from a light brown to a black. And then our corpora nigra can also go from their normal circular shape to much, much smaller, or sometimes even atrophied enough that they're completely gone. And then important to mention, anytime an owner calls in with ocular pain in a breed like an Appaloosa, we're always going to be more suspicious of uveitis than any other eye problem, because Appaloosas are at a higher risk for uveitis than other breeds. And in particular, Appaloosas that have blankets over them or are mostly white are going to be at the highest risk. And then horses that are white with brown spots, so like our leopard Appaloosas, are going to be kind of our second highest risk. And then if you want no risk of uveitis in an Appaloosa, your best bet is to get a completely brown Appaloosa with no white on it whatsoever.
Yeah, that's a great point. So how would you go about diagnosing ERU in a suspicious horse?
So the exam plays a big part of it for me. If we see aqueous flare, that means you have uveitis. And then the biggest question is it equine recurrent uveitis? Because there can be other causes of uveitis. So if you have an infected corneal ulcer and you have uveitis, the uveitis isn't there because of equine recurrent uveitis. It's there because of the corneal ulcer. And then you're going to treat the corneal ulcer and the uveitis will go away. Or in some cases, a horse will have a trauma. So maybe it comes in and there's a laceration around his eye, or some hair rubbed off, or maybe there's even an orbital fracture. And when you have uveitis in those cases, you're not going to say, oh, this horse has a recurrent disease, we're going to have to treat it for the rest of its life. You're going to be more likely to say, you know, no, this horse had a trauma, we need to treat the uveitis, but hopefully it's not going to be this recurrent condition. And the horses with equine recurrent uveitis, the things that kind of key me into this particular form of uveitis is sometimes they'll have like a green, yellowish, murky hue to the vitreous, so the back of the eye. And again, that really darkening of the iris, so going from the brown to black, tells us that there's been multiple episodes of uveitis. And then also attachments of the iris to the lens, posterior synechia, that shows us that there's been multiple episodes of uveitis generally. So we're looking for all those little hints that tell us that this isn't the first episode of uveitis. There's been previous episodes, and then we want to go more into the, okay, we're going to have to treat this for the rest of the horse's life game plan and frequent monitoring, things like that.
Yeah, so moving into treatment options, one reason I was really excited to talk to you is because you gave a presentation at AAP on a new novel drug for treating ERU, and we actually have a summary of that presentation on equimanagement, which I'll leave linked in the show notes if anyone's interested in reading it. But can you briefly explain some of this research and this new treatment option?
Yeah, so I was really excited to be a part of that project. The drug that we used is a drug that's intended for human use with autoimmune diseases, and not just ocular, but rheumatoid arthritis, the particular skin diseases. There's a lot of lofty goals for the drug. So the nice thing is horses and equine recurrent uveitis is a really nice model of autoimmune disease. So that's how I got involved with it. And the main reason we're looking into other drugs is because we have a lot of different treatments for equine recurrent uveitis, but most of them come with side effects and not all horses respond to them. So I'm always looking for other drugs that maybe are responded to by more animals, or maybe you have that one horse that doesn't respond to standard treatment, but it does respond to this drug. So I think the more treatment options we have, the better. And the nice thing about this drug is in the study, we were able to show that it has anti-inflammatory effects similar to a topical NSAID. In that project, we used diclofenac. And so that was really exciting and promising, not only for the human side, but also for the equine side, because so many of the treatment options that we use and that are widely available to us are ones that are used in human medicine. And so they are commercially available. So that's kind of our goal, is help get these medications into production so then we have them to use later on for our horses.
And is that drug commercially available now for horses, or is that still in the approval process?
It is not. Yeah, still in the kind of research process, and they're starting to do some human trials. So hopefully it's out there in the future, but right now not available. So our kind of standard treatments that we're looking for, I kind of group these horses into two groups. So a really acute episode where there's a lot of inflammation and we have to use more potent anti-inflammatories that we wouldn't consider using long-term, like systemic steroids, topical steroids. And then we have our kind of chronic management mode. We're going to more consider our topical NSAIDs, maybe even systemic NSAIDs. Generally, I like topical diclofenac like we used in the study, or Equiox, which is a bit of our kind of safer NSAID that we use systemically, because then we're reducing the side effects that we see in horses long term. And a lot of horses do really well on those, but not all of them do. So then we have surgical options too. And the surgical option that I really like the best, one, because it's a little more affordable, and then also we're having great success with it in the early stages, is an intravitreal gentamicin injection with a really small amount of gentamicin, so it doesn't damage the eye, but helps control the inflammation. And then the other surgical option we have is called a suprachoroidal cyclosporine implant. And for that one, it is more expensive because the horses are under general anesthesia to place it, and then we also have to pay for the implant itself. So just cost-wise, the injection is nice. And for me personally, I'm seeing better outcomes with it in the long run so far. So those are kind of our treatment options that I'm keeping in mind when I see a horse with equine recurrent uveitis. My first option is always going to be medical treatment because that has the lowest risk for the horse. But if owners can't do daily medications or they're just not working for the horse, then that's kind of when I start thinking about the surgical options.
Today's Disease Is Your podcast is brought to you by Prestige Vaccines from Merck Animal Health. Raise your standard in equine vaccines with Prestige. From a worldwide leader in vaccine manufacturing and innovation, the Prestige line has an enduring reputation of performance. Known for their safety and efficacy, only Prestige vaccines are backed by the Merck Animal Health Respiratory Biosurveillance Program, which helps practitioners create new standards of care and improved infectious respiratory disease management. Learn more at MerckAnimalHealthUSA.com. So what is the prognosis for ERU, both in terms of keeping their sight and returning to work? And you can talk about medical and surgical prognoses if you want.
Yeah. And I think so much of it depends. Numbers that have been thrown out there are all over the place. So much of it depends on, though, how the horses are treated and how frequently they're monitored. I think not only what I do has a big implication, but also what the general practice vet at home does, because these horses are not ones that I can just do something to, and then we never have to check again. They're really horses that need to be checked a few times a year at a minimum. And if they're having a problem, then the vet in the field is going to check on them immediately so we can find out what it is and adjust medications. So the dedicated owners, generally, those are going to be the ones that are going to do better. It's not always true because we have those cases that no matter what you do, you're not going to win. But for the most part, I think that the ones that are really diligent about follow-up are the ones that we see the best success in. And numbers as far as preserving vision-wise, for the ones that have had gentamicin injections, we're looking at somewhere around the 80 to 90% range as far as keeping vision, but that's short-term data. So we really need more long-term data. And then for the cyclosporin implants, we do have the long-term data published, and that we're looking at somewhere around 80% preservation of vision. But it kind of, it depends on which population you're looking at. And when we're talking about Appaloosas, myself, and I think a lot of my colleagues, the prognosis is just so much worse than that. And we haven't really determined what is the best way to manage these horses. So we're kind of trying to do everything with them usually. And no matter what medical or surgical option that we do, I always have poor results in Appaloosas. So as a breed, I would say the prognosis is worse for them. And the data and the research has shown that as well.
Are there any possible strategies for preventing the disease and breeds that are at risk, like Appaloosas, or just keeping them more comfortable once they've been diagnosed?
Yeah, there is genetic testing. UC Davis, you can send in samples that look at the specific gene associated with uveitis and Appaloosas. So as a really lofty goal, we would breed it out of them. Unfortunately, it's connected to their color. And so a lot of people, they want the spots, they want the white. And so the chance that we ever are able to breed it out of them is probably really low just because of that. So I think with that being an impossibility, UV light protection, I think, is always something that can help. And most of the time, it's really easy. I recommend greater than 90% UV light protection masks. And you can get them online. Generally, most tech stores don't have them available, but you can do a quick Google search and find some. And then also just being able to do the frequent exams, and especially at risk horses. So any Appaloosa, I'm recommending that they get eye exams twice a year. And then if we're seeing any signs, early intervention is the best way to deal with these horses. So not preventing the disease exactly, but intervening early can reduce our damage that we get in the eye and hopefully also reduce the chance of blindness.
Great. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add on the topic of ERU before we wrap up? Any other research that you're working on or anything interesting that veterinarians should be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the intravitreal gentamicin injections are something that are really exciting. They're definitely not without complication, but hopefully we're going to have a paper out soon looking at the long-term numbers on those. So kind of be on the lookout for that. And then the biggest thing that I would say kind of in summary, and this is what I kind of talked to all of the vets that are referring to me about, is that if you have a horse with equine recurrent uveitis, my goal is always preventing the episodes. And so if you have the horse and you are just treating it when an episode occurs, every time an episode occurs, damage is happening to the eye. And then the more damage we have, the reduction in vision, and then also higher chance of cataracts, glaucoma, retinal detachment, all things that are going to lead to problems in the horse and maybe even necessitate eye removal down the road. So if we can get more in the mindset of, instead of doing that defensive treatment, being proactive about it and coming up with a plan saying, okay, what medication can we put this horse on so that it doesn't have an episode? And say you just start out with topical diclofenac once a day, and then it has an episode 3 months down the road, you get that under control. And you say, okay, the once a day didn't prevent the episode, so let's increase it to twice a day if the owner can do that. And if that prevents the episodes, then great. You just do your 2-3 times a year annual checks and then kind of go from there. But if you still are having problems, then we have to adjust it again. And honestly, early involvement of a ophthalmologist is ideally the way to go. But I know, depending on the area that you're in, that that may not always be possible. But even reaching out via phone to kind of get opinions is always something that's recommended.
Thank you so much, Dr. Scherer, for joining us on this episode. And thank you to our audience for listening. And a very special thank you to our 2024 sponsor, Merck Animal Health, for allowing us to have these conversations. If you're enjoying the podcast, please rate and review us wherever you're listening. And if you have any questions or recommendations for the podcast, please send me an email at csison@equinenetwork.com. That's csison@equinenetwork.com.